Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we've got more details on Tesla's expansion plans for Giga Berlin. We've also got updates on the Model Y, the Supercharger network, some macro items to discuss, and a couple other things as well. One of those other things, of course, the stock Tesla today down 5% to close at $197.08. This is the first time since June of 2021, so almost a year and a half ago, that Tesla has closed below $200 per share. Of course, this was a significant underperformance from Tesla today, as the NASDAQ was up about 0.9%. So some pretty rough days here for the stock. It's a tumultuous period of time with Elon's Twitter acquisition, a lot of his Twitter activity focused on that, and politics, especially today with midterm elections tomorrow. So it's pretty easy to point to that and say that that's the reason for Tesla being down today. Maybe. I'm not willing to make that conclusion myself. Ultimately, I don't think Elon's political leanings or tweets or lack thereof about politics have much impact on the fundamental value of Tesla as a company. And over the long term, as an investment, that's really all that matters. Now, you may have a point of view that Elon is restricting his total addressable market by being more engaged in politics, and therefore that alters the fundamental value of Tesla as a company. Maybe. I've said before I wish Elon would be a little bit less divisive in terms of how he constructs his communications, and even if I wish sometimes he would keep some of his thoughts to himself, I don't think it's fair to criticize him for sharing his opinions. And it seems all too quickly that people forget that some of the characteristics that lead to behavior like this are the same characteristics that have led Tesla, SpaceX, etc. to tremendous success. Trying to keep this family friendly here, but Elon's IDGAF attitude should not be a surprise to anybody. We have seen that on display countless times, and again, that's part of why these companies have been so successful, why Elon is such a tremendous entrepreneur. Sometimes that attitude, especially when on display publicly, is going to ruffle some feathers, and we're definitely in one of those ruffling feather periods of times right now. That can definitely be frustrating, but if you look over the long term at a cost-benefit analysis of that, I think it's pretty clear that the benefit side comes out far ahead. I suspect a few years into the future, that is going to continue to be the case. My opinion is that ultimately, Tesla's success or lack thereof from here is going to be based on the merit of the products and how much Tesla can accomplish with bringing costs down while driving value up through things like FSD. Does Elon being more involved politically suppress the value of that company a little bit? Maybe a little bit, but we're talking a few percentage points maybe. If Tesla is not successful in 5xing or 10xing in value from this point in time, it's not going to be because of Elon's tweets, it's going to be because they didn't execute on the roadmap that they have laid out. Everyone's mad right now and frustrated and questioning things, and I get it. The stock's down 50% from all-time high, more than 50% from all-time high. That sort of a reaction is normal. Elon's not the type of CEO to be consoling and try to be constructive on the stock or anything like that. He doesn't care. That's because he understands that that stuff is just fundamentally not all that important. I mean, look at all the drama, all the stuff that Tesla's gone through that Elon has brought into Tesla over the last year or so. And Tesla is basically performing in line with a lot of its high growth, high multiple peers in the market, if not outperforming a lot of those names. That's because of the fundamental progress that Tesla has been making and continues to make. If we look at the last time Tesla was at this price, the price to earnings ratio was over 300, now it's at 60. We'd all do well to not forget that Elon is managing one of the most successful, dominant companies in history. I don't think we need a survey to tell us that people, regardless of political party, like great products and services, and they like investing in things that can make them money. Oftentimes, it really is that simple, and you just have to filter out the noise. All right, let's move on. Didn't really mean to get into a rant here to start the episode, but let's take a look at the economic calendar, because this week we've got, of course, the CPI report on Thursday. That'll be the big one for this week, with the implications that that carries for inflation and interest rate expectations. A couple of big things not on this calendar. Of course, tomorrow we have the midterm elections. Go vote. Then we should tomorrow also be getting the China numbers for October, hopefully including production. Speaking of China, we did get an update yesterday from Apple about a story that we had talked about a little bit last week, which was the possibility that COVID-19 restrictions were impacting iPhone 14 production. Apple yesterday confirming this, saying that one of their facilities is currently operating at significantly reduced capacity due to these restrictions, and that they now expect lower iPhone 14 Pro and iPhone 14 Pro Max shipments than previously anticipated. Obviously, with Apple confirming this, that probably elevates the perceived level of risk for Tesla's production in Shanghai in the fourth quarter. I suspect that probably had a bit to do with the share price movement today as well, though Apple today did finish up about 0.4%. Also, like we had talked about over the last few days, there have been more rumors and reporting that China may be reevaluating their COVID zero policies. So far, no official changes there. Some of those reports have been kind of shot down, but definitely something that will continue to be watched very closely. All right, getting into Tesla-specific news, we do have more information on the Giga Berlin expansion that we've been talking about. First, we had the tree clearing, then we had news of a possible application, We now seem to have some government confirmation of some parts of those plans. This is coming from the county or district that Giga Berlin is in. I think Gigafactory 4 on Twitter, the first one to scope out this document. And it does contain a line in there that, in translation, reads, quote, "The company has also announced that at the end of 2022, it will submit an application to expand the plant at the end of 2022, combined with a further increase in capacity from 500,000 to over 1 million passenger cars per year," end quote. So it sounds like Tesla has communicated to the government that by the end of the year, they intend to submit an application to more than double their production plans at Giga Berlin to some number over 1 million per year. Maybe that means 1 million, maybe it means 1.2, 1.5, etc. I think it's great to see Tesla getting started on this early. We know this process can take a long time, but we also know that Tesla is willing to work ahead at their own risk while those permits are pending. Since we've already seen them start to take trees down, hopefully in the early parts of next year, with this application on file, we see Tesla get to work on really the next stage of Giga Berlin. All right, next up, we've got a report on the Model Y that I think caused some confusion today. This is from Teslarati, probably the headline causing some of that confusion. It reads, Tesla prepares to launch 4680 standard range all-wheel drive Model Y for 2023. The body of the article, though, is just talking about how Tesla has received the certificates of conformity for all three versions of the Model Y, the long range, the performance, and the Model Y all-wheel drive, which of course we would have formerly known as a standard range version of the vehicle. So certificates of conformity for those three versions of the Model Y for the model year 2023. Now, Teslarati talks about how this version has been sold to employees previously. Of course, it's been sold to customers as well. We talked plenty of times about that throughout the year. This is the 4680 Model Y that Tesla sold for a bit from Texas. Of course, Monroe got their hands on that, many other customers as well. So really nothing new or surprising about this. Of course, we would expect Tesla to continue selling that vehicle next year as 4680s hopefully ramp up more significantly. All right, a few other quick items here. First, we've got an update on the Model S Plaid. Morton Grove has noticed that a Model S Plaid has popped up as being registered in Norway. It does sound like this will be a display vehicle, but it's exciting to see as we hopefully await the imminent deliveries of the first refreshed Model S and maybe X vehicles as well this quarter. Probably Tesla starting to export those at the start of the quarter, and we should see them hitting in Europe pretty soon. Next, a report out of Australia. This is covered by The Driven, but a report based on some news from the Ludicrous Feed YouTube channel, which was covering a response from government representatives about whether or not Tesla superchargers, which had received government funding in Australia, would be open to other non-Tesla electric vehicles, and they confirmed that they would be. So last month, we talked about a large amount of funding that Tesla had received for superchargers in Australia. No surprise that those will be open to all EVs, which would be a further expansion of the ever-expanding pilot that Tesla is doing right now in Europe. All right, last item for today, some bad news for electric vehicles in Sweden. Sweden's government has decided that beginning tomorrow, electric vehicle incentives will be removed. Teslarati reporting on this, noting that the Swedish government had said that the cost of owning and driving a climate bonus car is starting to be comparable to the cost of owning and driving a petrol or diesel car. Therefore, the climate bonus is abolished. This means that anyone who buys or orders a climate bonus car after November 8th, 2022 will not receive a climate bonus. They do note that if a citizen can prove the purchase was made before the deadline, they will be eligible for up to 6 months after the purchase, which always ends up being a little bit of a gray area, what technically defines a purchase, and I'm not sure how Sweden is formally defining that. This wasn't entirely without foreshadowing, as their funding for this incentive had started to run a little bit dry. For EVs, it's about a $6,500 incentive, so that is pretty sizable. It would be nice if they had given a little bit more notice on this, but I guess if you are in Sweden, maybe you've got like one more day to try and order. But that's got to be a pretty frustrating loss in Sweden. I wish governments in general would be more phase in, phase out type of things, like these hard caps on incentives, these hard deadlines on when they end. Sure seems like a phased approach in many of these regards would be a lot easier for both customers and businesses. All right, that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, November 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.